fastball driven. Deep left center field. That ball is gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone.
Welcome to the jungle. And I got one other thing to say.
War Eagle Auburn fans, welcome to Hitchcock Hecklers, your source for Auburn baseball news and discussion. Part of the E2C Network, a family of podcasts discussing Auburn athletics. Brought to you by the Auburn Baptist Campus Ministries, serving Auburn students since 1961, and the Auburn Uniform Database. Visit them at auburnuniforms.com. I'm Chandler, this is my co-host Clint, and it was not the best week for Auburn baseball.
No, it wasn't. I don't want to go play in the snow or anywhere near Kentucky right now.
No, it was cold weather up there. We got snowed out on Saturday.
We got rained out as well. It was a lot of weather going on that
just
day.
Some rough weather and some rough performances by the Tiger Bats. I mean, we hit 213 this weekend.
Jeez.
And that's, you don't usually win ball games when you hit 213.
No, not at all.
But Tigers now sit at 20-5. They're 3-3 in conference. They're ranked anywhere between 9th and 13th in the six different college baseball polls. And we have the number 5 RPI in the nation. We were number 1 last week. But we're Auburn. We don't stay number 1 at things.
So going 1-2 over the weekend does not bode very well for keeping number 1 in anything.
No. But let's get started with the game recaps.
Let's do that.
Let's do it. Friday at Kentucky, we lost a close one. 5-4. Auburn had the lead and lost it in the ninth inning. Casey Mize pitched yet another gem. I mean, not much more you can do if you're Casey Mize. And in every recent draft projection I've seen, he's projected number 1.
And that's so awesome.
And he looked like the number 1 draft pick in the nation Friday night.
Yeah, and you know, we started this season saying Casey's struggling. Casey's not playing very well. And I don't know if he's just turned it around or is just more consistent or what. But this is his third straight outing with 12-plus strikeouts, which the last time an Auburn player did that was in 1994. And John Powell struck out 10-plus in 6 straight games.
Yeah, Casey has a ton of amazing statistics this season so far.
38 strikeouts over his last 3 starts.
That's one
and
of
hasn't
them.
Walked one player.
But I think that's amazing. But over the entire course of the season, I think you got exactly what I was going to say. The greatest stat I think is 63 strikeouts and 3 walks. That's a 21-1 ratio. I mean, that's pretty dadgum good.
He leads the SEC in strikeouts.
If we're going to go through the things he leads, we'll have to have a separate show.
We will. But Casey leads the SEC right now in strikeouts, and the number 2 pitcher is 12 strikeouts below him. Casey is a full game ahead of the number 2 pitcher right now.
A full Casey Mize game.
Yes.
12 strikeouts, that's a normally 2 games for most people.
But unfortunately, even the best pitcher can't win a game on his own.
Nope. You gotta have some bullpen to help you, and Casey didn't have that Friday night.
And surprisingly, it was Calvin Coker. Calvin just really struggled this weekend in both appearances, and you know, gave up the tying runs in the final inning, and then, you know, Auburn's worst nightmare. Calvin struggles, so you throw in another guy, and bases loaded, and the first pitch from Elliot Anderson.
Not good.
To the bat stop, wild pitch, runner just easily walks across from third base. So, not a really great way to start the series in Lexington.
Not at all. That was a rough game. And, I mean, it was great to see how the Tigers came back on Sunday, though, following that loss. Because, I mean, you never know how a team's going to respond to that. But for the Bats, Will Holland was 2-for-4, 1 RBI, and Brett Wright was 2-for-4 with 1 RBI. But besides that, I mean, Luke Jarvis went 2-for-4, Jay Estes went 2-for-4. The Tigers were able to get hits. They just couldn't. They couldn't plate runners, you know.
Yeah, we only left 5 on base, which is a really good number for Auburn this season.
Yeah,
but just couldn't bring them in. But I think a lot of that has to do with Sean Jelly, Kentucky's 7'5".
6'11". He really is.
He's 6'11". A big old kid on the mound.
He is.
But gosh, he performed so well.
He won.
Sits in the third, 8 hits, 4 runs off of that, 7 strikeouts. I mean,
he won conference pitcher of the year last year.
Casey won the matchup, but you know, Kentucky won the game, but that was a really fun matchup to watch those two perform.
Yes, definitely. I think most Friday nights in the SEC are going to be very fun.
Especially when Casey Mize is one of the guys.
I mean, Casey Mize versus anybody, pretty much. But I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these. Casey Mize versus Brady Singer at Florida later in the year.
That was That's a great matchup last year.
I mean, Brady Singer, he's projected number one draft prospect to begin the year. His stock has fallen a little bit. But both of those guys are absolute studs, aces, and it's going to be fun. It's just going to be fun to see a lot of these guys face off against Casey Mize this year. But let's move on to Saturday. Wait, Saturday we had some bad weather up in Lexington.
1 inch of snow and 100% chance of rain.
Yep, so let's move on to Sunday. Sunday, the Tigers played a doubleheader, and we had 2 7-inning games, thanks to Autumn for helping us with that. But the Tigers had 2 7-inning games, and they fought in the first game. I mean, yeah, that's all I can say. They fought in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn came away with the 4-3 win, but, you know, it wasn't pretty. Davis Daniel got the start, and again, not his best outing, but he gets better as he goes on. He's not very good from a cold start.
Like we've talked about before, Davis Daniel, if we started in the second inning, I think he could be golden.
Oh yeah, it's that first inning.
It's that first inning that causes him troubles. He's had 5 or 6 starts this season, and I think the first inning, he's probably given up a run in the first inning 5 times.
Probably.
Out of 6 starts.
And he pitched 5 full innings, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, walked 4 guys, struck out 4, and, you know, threw 92 pitches. So not the best numbers, but the way that this game went, I think he loaded the bases in the first inning, only gave up 1 run.
You know how he gave that run up. Walk the guy home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's killers. When you walk a guy home, you can't do that.
But, you know, Davis just, if we could get him going in the first inning, like you said, he would be a really solid number 2.
He would be. And then Welby, that last name that I cannot
ever pronounce. Why is that such a struggle for you? Say it.
Malcheski. Yeah, whatever. Welby. Pitched an inning. Gave up one walk on 22 pitches.
Struck out a guy.
And then Calvin Coker came in for the seventh. And Calvin struggled again. Gave up a two-run blast. And let me tell you, it was a blast. It was
out of there.
I don't know if you're watching it, but it was over the left center wall. And, I mean, it was definitely over the left center wall.
Yeah. And just, you know, not Calvin's best weekend. And luckily he got the save this time. But, you know, he just didn't have it. Kentucky was just hitting everything he threw at him.
Yeah, but let's talk about that, the seventh inning for the Tigers. Tigers plated four. We were heading into the last inning, down 1-0, and we plated four runs right there in the seventh. Very, very impressive fight and performance by Auburn to just keep on fighting, to never give up, and they just kept fighting, and they found a way.
Yeah, and that's what we've been wanting to see. You know, the Sovereign team's built a little bit more long ball than before, but this was kind of that small ball that, you know, we had with the previous coaching staff, just connecting batter to batter to batter. And, you know, it was just nice to see some runs because they felt very scarce this weekend.
Yeah.
At least for Auburn.
Yeah, Stephen Williams went 2 of 3, and then nobody else had more than one hit. But they found a way, and at the end of the day, that's what you want to do. It's all about finding a way. But then game two happened.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about that one.
We didn't really find a way game two.
No, that was bad.
I know, and I mean, this is sad, but it's part of it. This is Butch went on record post game and said this was the first game that he felt like we didn't fight and compete the entire game. And by the looks of it and by the score, that's true. You know, the Tigers lost 13-3, and I think it was 13-1 for a while.
Up until seventh inning,
the last inning. Yeah. But the Tigers had, let's see, eight pitchers pitch in this last game on Sunday. And that's not ever good when you have eight pitchers pitching.
No.
That means things are not going very well.
No, and it's not very good when your starting pitcher, as in Tanner Burns, only goes two innings and gives up four runs. But, you know, I appreciate Butch understanding the situation and not forcing his hand and forcing this team to do what they just didn't want to do, down, you know, 10-1 or whatever it was at the time, and not conceding defeat, but just taking the game in a different direction and giving these guys experience.
The good news, if there is any good news to come from this game, Tanner Burns is the only pitcher that threw more than 24 pitches. So I'm going to guess that every one of these other guys is going to be ready for tomorrow night, if I had to guess.
The Capital City Classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we will talk about here in a minute.
But yeah, it just, you know, Justin Lewis for Kentucky got off to a Davis Daniel Light shaky start, and I think he loaded the bases, and Auburn just couldn't do anything with it. And then he got into a rhythm that was just so hard for Auburn to do anything against. And, you know, it kind of was a role reversal now that I think about it.
Is there a left on base stat? Because I know we left a lot on base.
We left 8. So, middle of the road stat for Auburn in that category this season. Yeah. We've seen a lot of guys left on base.
But at the same time, Kentucky left a lot on base, and they still scored 13.
Also left 8.
They scored 13 runs, so that you can't blame it on anything in particular.
Kentucky also had 8 more at bats.
Kentucky pretty much just slaughtered us.
Yep.
In this
and it was, you know, it was a good top 10 matchup. And in some of the polls, it was a number 6 Auburn, number 8 Kentucky. I know you and I kind of underestimated this Kentucky team going into it just based off of their schedule, but they came to play and Auburn didn't.
That's right. And in the SEC, you've got to come to play every dadgum weekend. Like, you don't have a choice. I mean, I think there's, I want to say there's 8 or maybe 9 ranked SEC teams right now. And the other 4 or 5 are not any slack offs either.
I mean, think there's 8 in the top 11.
Yeah. So you've got to come ready to play every weekend. And this weekend, Auburn just didn't come ready to play. And it cost us a weekend series, which Auburn has won 16, dating back to last season, has won 16 out of their 20 last weekend series. But they didn't get this one.
Learn from it and move on.
We'll have to move on, and we got another big weekend series coming up against Missouri this weekend.
Yep, but we got a really fun midweek game, one that I know you like.
We do.
I personally, what?
We do.
What did
I say? I don't know what we're talking about. You're talking about the Capital City Classic. Yeah. This little podunk team from East Mississippi is coming into town. Or not coming into town, is coming, meeting us halfway in Montgomery.
Oh boy.
And the Tigers are squaring off against, I don't even remember their name. I think it's the East Mississippi Crimson Tide or something.
Crimson. Got to put that P in there.
But the Tigers, I like our chances in this game. The Tigers, I think we are 7-1 all time in this game.
7-1, 8-1. I don't remember how many we've played, but Auburn's only lost one of them.
It's something and one. 'Cause
great math.
I know most of the Alabama fans I know give Alabama 0% chance to win this game. I mean, like, I've heard Alabama fans say before this baseball season started that they were going to go 55-1.
That
Capital City Classic game, they had no chance in.
Whether they just don't perform well or they just don't care, Auburn has just owned this game. But to their credit, Auburn's not played very well in the weekend series against Alabama.
They did not, or they have not. And I would not be surprised at all if Alabama comes out tomorrow night and dominates us. But by the way, the way that we look this weekend is just not encouraging, and the way that we're talking right now on this show is setting up a jinx. But I'm trying to reverse jinx it. If you know what I'm trying, if you know what I'm saying, you read what I'm doing?
No, yeah. Not at all. But I'll let you keep doing it. All
right. Well, it's my psychological thinking, and nobody understands my brain.
This
so.
Is so true.
But,
even all those doctors.
But what dang. it was a rough weekend, but I'm looking forward to going to Montgomery tomorrow night, getting some Dreamland ribs in me before the game, and
overrated.
Getting the game started. No, they're not overrated at all. But it'll be a fun game, fun atmosphere, always is.
Yeah, it's always fun. And for some good news, Coach Thompson said Monday that he does expect Cody Greenhill and Andrew Mitchell to be back within the next week or two. Cody was out with mono. He might be back this week. Andrew had a sore forearm, and I think that Butch is expecting him by next weekend. So two of our better bullpen arms coming back, and that's always going to be helpful.
Yeah. I know Coach said that Cody was going to be, I don't know what they're doing with his mono, but they said they were going to test him again on Wednesday. So he won't be available for tomorrow night's game, but he will hopefully be ready to go for Missouri. And if not, we're still going to find a way, and we're going to compete this weekend, but we hope to get Cody and Andrew back really soon. All right, so now it's time for our E2C Players of the Week, and I'll lead us off. My player of the week was Luke Jarvis, San Diego Cali boy. He hit 556 this weekend. Five hits, scored four runs, had one double and one RBI. Turned in a hit in all three games versus Kentucky, including a pair of multi-hit games in the series opener and finale. But Luke, he had a really good weekend. He's pretty much the only one that had a really good weekend. But he drove in the game-tying run on an RBI double in the seventh inning against Kentucky in game two. But it was just really good to see him have a good weekend because Luke struggled for the most part this season and hasn't really been his normal self. So it was really good to see him have a good weekend at the plate, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Yeah, and my player of the week is one that, honestly, we haven't really talked about a whole lot this year. Will Holland. You know, he's actually now in the leadoff position and hit 375 this weekend. Hit safely got on base in all three games against Kentucky. Now has a six-game hit streak. And he's actually reached base in 24 of the 25 games this year.
Yeah, Will had a good weekend as well, and it'll be interesting to see what Coach Thompson does with his lineup for tomorrow night and this weekend in terms of where Luke and Will are in the batting order, because I'm pretty sure that Will and Luke have been our only two leadoff hitters this season. So it'll be interesting to see who, and then the other guy has usually been, I think, in the nine hole. So it'll be interesting to see who Coach Thompson puts as the leadoff and just how things will turn out. But let's look ahead to this weekend. Auburn welcomes to Plainsman Park the Missouri Tigers. Missouri sits at 3-3 in the conference, just like the Auburn Tigers. They're 19-6 overall, and they're currently on a one-game win streak. I haven't looked at any much stats, but this Missouri team, they have a very similar record to Auburn, and I would guess that their season has gone a lot like Auburn's. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, they actually started the season off only winning two of three against Florida International in Miami. We have a common opponent so far in Northeastern, where Missouri won two of those three. They went 2-2 against them. They play a four-game series.
The stat that I just saw, or that game that was before Northeastern, they shut out Miami 9-0 playing at Miami. So
that's a big win.
That's a really big win.
But hey,
the Golden Retrievers.
Woo! Yeah, Missouri swept everybody's favorite UMBC Golden Retrievers, but run sport.
Yeah.
You know, let's get to the conference. Lost 2 out of 3 at LSU, and went 2-1. Against Mississippi State at home in Missouri. So, you know, up and down.
I'll say this, and we'll end up getting swept this weekend. But
don't you dare say it.
I would say that Auburn has the advantage coming in this weekend just because of our two conference opponents are way better than Missouri's two conference opponents they've played so far. A&M and Kentucky for Auburn. And then Mississippi State and LSU for Missouri. And in the past years, that wouldn't be the case. Because historically, LSU and Mississippi State have a very good baseball program.
Two of the best in the league.
But this year, LSU has kind of struggled. They have a very young team.
They always find a way to put it together towards the end of the season.
They do. And then Mississippi State...
They're not putting this one together.
I don't know what their problem is. I'm just
they have no coach.
Hoping right now that they don't come get our coach. But that'll be discussed later on in the season.
Love you, Butch.
Yeah, shout out. Love you. If you're listening. But yeah. So I would like to hopefully give us the advantage, but we'll just have to see. I'm trying to look at the stats to see. I'm guessing Michael Plassmeyer is probably Missouri's Friday night guy. He has a 2.45 ERA, has started 6 games this season, and has a 3-0 record in the games he started. So I'm guessing he is probably their Friday night starter.
Doesn't walk many guys and strikes out a lot.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to see him go up against probably Casey Mize as well. But we'll just have to see. Should be fun.
Always is.
That'll do it for us here today. Thank you for listening. How can the people connect with you, Clint?
You can follow me on Twitter at ClintAU24. And you can follow my website, the Auburn Uniform Database, at auburnuniforms.com.
You can follow myself on Twitter at GolfWizKid, GolfWizKid. Thank you for listening. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
That's going to do it for this episode on the E2C Network. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune into our show. A couple reminders for you listeners before we head out today. If you're interested in joining the E2C Network team, make sure you give us an email at e2cnetwork@gmail.com, and we'd be happy to discuss that with you. Also, make sure you're checking out the variety of episodes on our podcast we have coming out each week, as well as our blog post on e2cnetwork.com. Specifically, make sure you're checking out Facebook Live sessions that we have called E2C Live and Auburn Fan Chat, where you, the listener, can get involved in the show and have your voice heard. If you're interested in connecting with us and giving us feedback, there are a variety of ways to do that. First, go online to iTunes and SoundCloud and Google Play. Please subscribe there and give us reviews there as well. It helps spread the show and lets us know how we're doing. If you're looking to find us on social media, you can do so at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even YouTube. Just type in E2C Network and that'll get you there. Once again, our email is e2cnetwork@gmail.com and our website e2cnetwork.com. And I want to thank the Auburn BCM and the Auburn Uniform Database once again, and thank you, the listeners, for tuning in each and every week. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger, and War Eagle.